Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Welcome, everyone, to this Sunday night in July, July 8th in particular, another exciting episode of An Emerging Forest. And my good friend and festival and lifestyle visionary, Dave Miller, introduced me to John Lee Rooker. And An Emerging Forest, what's it about? It's about supporting all the forests that wish to emerge. So welcome to the show, John.
Thank you, Alan. Good evening to everyone that's listening.
Yeah, and if you are listening and John has said, hey, come on the radio show, you can bide your time because John's going to tell a little bit about the story, his story, and where it came from, and then you can jump on a little later on in the show. The number to call in is 646-564-9714. So, John, you basically have a story to tell about – everybody kind of has a story to say, well, where you know, who am I? How did I get into this? What was my path that led me to where I'm at? And where where am I? And what's my vision of where I think my feet are carrying me? So you tell your story, please.
Okay. Well, I'm grateful to tell my story. I guess I'd like to begin my story in media res. So in the middle of the story where we are right now, I like the intro to your show, Alan. It's the, you know, an emerging forest. Right now, I'm in an emerging forest. I'm standing on a beautiful 125 acres of land. It's really magical up here. There's six horses. There's a beautiful river that stretches about 3/4 miles of this land. It's very peaceful. Most of the land is forest, and there's a lot of open land as well, where we've begun to do some gardens up here, planting a lot of beautiful medicinal plants and edible plants. And every day I'm up here and I'm just falling in love with this land, you know, connecting with the land and the spirits on this land. It's really wonderful up here. This time I am about 5 days out from our third Permajam event. I'm doing my best, you know, to just stay really calm and, you know, things, there's so much to do getting ready for this event, to make it really, really special and beautiful for all the people that are coming. So I'm just, yeah, doing my best to relax and enjoy doing this work. This time last year, I would have been really having a lot of stress, you know, but things are running really smooth this year. So that's where we are right now. And this is our third PermaJam event. And, it, you know, so I'll just tell a little bit about my story and how I got to this place, you know. I'll just say about myself, you know, I'm just a regular human being. I'm just a humble person, and I'm a musician as well. I've always been a musician ever since I was a little kid, you know. I did my first performance when I was 7 years old. I sang Michael Jackson, I Want You Back, Jackson 5. And, I always really wanted to be a rock star, you know, or a musician. So yeah, you know, I went down the, you know, I was an academic when I was younger. I was like the top of my class. You know, they wanted to skip me forward a couple of grades. And, but my mom, she wanted me to grow up in, you know, the same age with everyone else. So I wound up, you know, staying in that grade with all the kids my age. And then, you know, I was really passionate about school, and I always got, you know, hundreds on my tests and everything. But then what happened around age, 12, 13, I started to become really confused and really angry. I don't really, you know what happened to me at that time, but I started to fail my classes. You know, I wasn't doing really well academically, and you know, my parents were really concerned about me at that time. I started to experiment with drugs, and things were just kind of really going downhill. I'd say I went through a 10-year period of time there where, you know, it was kind of a period of darkness for me in my life, you know. But one thing I was sure about is that, you know, society was terribly messed up. And even at a young age in seventh grade, I was refusing to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and, you know, that really didn't make my teachers very happy at all. So, you know, I made my way through high school. Somehow, some way, I graduated. I failed a lot of classes. I didn't show up a lot. And then I wound up going into a musical college, and I started a recording studio. I learned recording arts. I worked with some different artists, and I had a studio. And that was around age 21 where I started the recording studio. And then around age 27, something really powerful happened for me. And what happened was I watched a film that was called Flow, for Love of Water is what Flow stands for. And it was all about the future of water on our planet, and how water was being commodified by these water corporations, and just what the future would be like if we continued to allow these corporations to take control of our world's water resources and all the pollution of the water that was going on. And that really just struck a light bulb with me. I said, you know, we can't sit by and let this happen. You know, if we continue to allow, you know, the controlling of our water and the sale of our water, you know, our children aren't going to have any clean water. They're going to be fighting wars over this stuff one day. So that really just lit a fire in me. And I started to post about it. I started to share. I started to tell everyone, you guys got to pay attention to what's going on here. At that point, I began to research. Just obsessively researching. I would stay up until 4 or 5 in the morning. I would read about every subject of what is wrong with our society and why the environmental crises that we have today. I'd read about the military-industrial complex. I'd read about the money the complex. I'd read about the pharmaceutical industry, the food industry, the drug industry, the education institutions, the religious institutions. That was where I began a lot of research, and it really started to open my eyes to see, wow, you know, maybe this is why I was rebelling so much around seventh grade and onward, is, you know, right. I just had this sense all along that things were not as they seemed and not all was right in the world. You know, another beautiful thing happened in my research is I discovered that the true history of humanity was really being tucked away and hidden from people, from all of us. I realized that human beings, you know, had an amazing history, and that inside of human beings was an incredible power that the so-called powers that be didn't want us to realize. And that a lot of our media and things like that were designed to create division and fear in us. So it was a lot of awakening for me, and a lot of research in and really taking the time to understand why this world was in so much disarray and dysfunction, and why there's so much sickness and so much sadness as well, you know, that spiritual sickness that we see in our world. So that was my research. And it was a lonely time for me because, you know, my family, my friends, they were like, you know, John, what's going on with you? Why are you, you know, talking about all this stuff? Why are you getting into all this? We don't want to know about this. We don't want to hear about this, you know? And I didn't have any support from any of my family or any of my friends at that time. But, you know, I just decided I need to follow this path, you know, and I need to be an activist. I need to continue to spread these messages and continue to raise awareness about what's happening on our planet because of how much I cared, you know, how much I cared for my family, how much I cared for my friends and the future generations as well, you know. So I continued, and I started this path as an organizer. I was working for different social and environmental causes. I organized some events with against fracking. I got involved with the Occupy Wall Street movement. I worked on a fight to stop this desalinization plant from being built on the Hudson River. It would have been terribly polluted for the Hudson River, and it would have killed a lot of the ecosystem as well. We stood up to stop Indian Point nuclear power plant. We worked to stop a super Walmart from being developed on a beautiful wetland. But that super Walmart project is me getting a little bit ahead of the story. So it was a lonely time for me. And I was looking for answers of what can I do? And I was listening to this radio show host. His name's Max Egan. I don't know if you ever heard of Max Egan. Max Egan, he's out in Australia, you know. And Max said something one day, I was listening to him, and it really struck me, you know. He said, you can't really change the world. He said, but, you know, you can change yourself, and we can become self-sufficient, and we can learn how to grow our own food, and we can build community. And that was it. I said, yeah, you know, I got to do that. That rang true for me, and that's the kind of person I've been, you know, for these years. Is if something feels true for me, I'm going to do it, you know, no matter what anybody else says. It feels right for me, I'm going to do it. And so I wound up looking around, and it just so happened that there was a community farm, a CSA, a community supported agriculture project that was being started in my, you know, home place, Rockland County, New York, where I grew up. And they were looking for an apprentice to work on the farm and help start the farm. So I started volunteering there, and they liked me as a volunteer, and then they gave me the apprenticeship, and I started working at the Cropsey Community Farm. It was a CSA, and that first year, it was really interesting because what happened was I was supposed to be an apprentice studying with a farmer, and the farmer got fired really early in the season, and it wound up being me and a couple of young people with a little adult supervision there that grew food for about 200 families. Yeah, we grew food for 200 families and as my first year as a farmer. And it was a really beautiful, empowering experience. I also went through a lot of healing in that time, you know, just being on the land, being on the farm every day, working in the sun, you know, eating fresh vegetables every single day. It was tremendously empowering for me to do that work, and it was just very physically, spiritually, and mentally healing to do that work. But, you know, that was the first year as a farmer, and I wanted to learn how to farm. So I got the experience that I was looking for from that place. And the next year, me and some other young activists we started our own permaculture project, and it was called the Eastern Light Project, and it was also in Rockland County, New York, in a town called Pomona. We moved on to 25 acres, and we started this little permaculture center. And what we were doing was we were demonstrating suburban-scale permaculture to all of our surrounding communities, and it was a really beautiful project. We had a couple hundred people that would come out to our workshops, to our gatherings. It was really, really tremendous, you know, this work that we were doing there. We were basically living off of foraged foods and food from our garden and catching rainwater and, you know, composting our own human waste, you know, human manure composting. So that was a really, really beautiful experience for me as an activist, because I got to really be living an example for the people around us and inspiring people, you know, which was really, I guess, my passion as an activist at the time, was to inspire something in people around me, you know, to kind of wake us up, give us hope, you know, connect us back to the roots, back to, you know, our purpose here on this earth, you know. And a really great thing happened to us while we were there. These Native elders, Native American elders, they started to take an interest to what we were doing on there, on that land, you know. And we were visited by a Lakota elder. I'm not going to give his name, but he came to our land and he built a sweat lodge. The Lakota word for sweat lodge is an anipi. And he taught us all about the sweat lodge ceremony, and we got to participate in sweat lodge, and we got to also invite people from our community to come and pray with us on our land there. And it was a really, really mind-opening experience for me, and spiritually opening experience for me. So we discovered while we were living on this 25 acres that there was a development project that was going to happen on this the wetland right next to us. And this big development project, they were going to develop all the land around it, including the 25 acres that we were on, and they were going to build this super Walmart right next to this beautiful wetland. So we started going to battle for that. We were doing our research. We were going to the land, taking pictures of the wetland plants. We were demonstrating to the town boards that, you know, this is a wetland, and if you develop this land, it's going to not only destroy this precious ecosystem, but this ecosystem is connected to all the ecosystems around it. It's going to be devastating to the area all around it. And we were proving that. But the town boards, they said to us, it's not a wetland. And even though we proved to them that it was a wetland right next to a DEC federally recognized wetland, that the whole entire area, in fact, was a wetland. They said, no, it's not a wetland. And they said, we're going to approve this project because the project is going to create jobs. Now, the fact that they're going to build a super Walmart is going to create jobs for people at $13 an hour, but it's going to also put these mom and pop shops out of business across the street, you know? So it's like you could really see that these, you know, board members were totally working with these developers and ignoring all of this beautiful evidence that was right in front of their faces. So the project got approved, the Super Walmart, and it was heartbreaking for us. But I called some of my Native elders together to do a prayer, with us. And it was a prayer for me. It was a prayer for my life, for guidance. And it was a prayer to protect that land, and it was also a prayer for how can I unite people, not just in our community, but around the planet. You know, I saw that if human beings didn't come together and work together to create a beautiful world, that we would be continuing down this destructive path. So that was my prayer, you know. As crazy as it may sound, Alan, you know, that was my prayer. How can I unite people of the world? You know, that was my prayer.
Right.
And to protect this beautiful land. So an amazing thing happened, Alan. 2 weeks later, or 3 weeks or so, after that prayer ceremony, that project, which had been approved, was stopped dead in its tracks. Now, I don't know if you know anything about, you know, development projects, but once a project is approved, it's almost unheard of that a project would be stopped after it's been approved. This project got stopped dead in its tracks, and the reason that it got stopped in its tracks is because the two towns that own the land couldn't agree on how to spend the tax, how to divide the tax money. So it wound up in the end being, yeah. So it was actually greed in the end that stopped this project, but I really believe that it was the prayer, you know, and the power of prayer. And another amazing thing happened.
So these two thieves who had no right actually stealing from Mother Earth, these two thieves come down and say, okay, 5 weeks from now when we get this pot of gold, we need to decide now how to divide this pot of gold. And they couldn't agree on how to divide the pot of gold. So they said, I'm not doing business with you. I'm so greedy that you wanted 60% and you were only giving me 40%. And if we had gone halvesies, I would have gone in on this. But because you're being 10% greedy, I won't go in on this with you.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how I interpreted that.
It speaks so much to how, you know, it wasn't about the beauty of the land. It wasn't the impact on the quality of life of all the generations of children and all the generations of people who would never see that wetland again. It wasn't about that. It was about 30 pieces of silver.
Right. And
basically when you're telling your story about getting to seventh grade, I look at everybody as being entertained. And at seventh grade, you sort of looked into your future and said, you know, none of this stuff entertains me anymore. And at that point, you began to look around, and just like I did at a certain point in my life, I stopped being entertained by the society. I didn't know why. You got to a certain point in your life and you did a whole ton of research. I certainly got to that point in my life and I did a whole ton of research, and I had to think about it for a long time. But internally, we all have a remote control. And when there's nothing in the society that we can tune to that entertains us, we have to build it. We have to actually make it happen. And that's literally your life now is creating the footsteps into the life that would entertain you, because it doesn't exist. And that's exactly what I'm doing right now. That's exactly what Dave Miller is doing. And you had to literally walk away from people who were fully entertained by the corporate entertainment offering, your family, your friends, many of the people that you went to school with, and you said, hey, they're not interested in hearing about these other channels. They're not interested in hearing about what's under the paint on the wall of their society. They don't want to know the details. But you wanted to know the details because you wanted to know, is this really what I think it is? Am I really completely incompatible with this construct? And what you found out, all the way down to the Walmart example that you just mentioned, was the television set in which their head is inserted is completely different. They're fine. They're being entertained. They're happy as a clam. They cannot understand. They cannot understand that there's someone who is not entertained. But you and I and many other people, all those disaffected kids in school who all of a sudden, you know, after a certain number of grades, their mind just goes into drugs. and you're like,
yeah,
why? He was so smart up until sixth grade. He was like, you know, as you said, he was an A student in every class. But all of a sudden, your mind said, I'm not entertained. I'm sorry. The soul behind you is saying, I'm really sorry, John, but we're going to have to go on a journey where you're going to realize that you have to actually be the creator of the home that you need to walk into.
Yeah.
And that's literally why my program is titled An Emerging Forest. I'm walking toward the place that can, you know, entertain me. And of course you and I both understand, you know, okay, we don't have anything, but we have immense power is what everybody else wants to be painted inside rooms and not activate. The immense power is literally what words you speak, who you associate with, and what you actually do with where you put your feet and the actions that you do with your hands and body. Because if you get out there and you do something that no one else is doing, and you talk about it, or maybe you don't even talk about it, you just do that, the universe has to make room for you doing that. And in doing that, you've created something that's, you know, like antimatter to the society that you're living in. So that's the mechanical, I mean, basically, if you look at the wall and it's all Walmart society, and you're like, oh, my gosh, nowhere here isn't Walmart society. But you and I have the power to actually reach over to the wall and tear a huge, massive, like, social tear in it and walk out and act in a different way.
Yeah.
So when you're doing that, you can't look at it and say, I expect to make progress at a rapid rate. What you say is, I'm actually having to build a society from zero, so any like-minded people, encouragement, even doing it in your mind or doing it a little bit, any amount, actually is incredibly powerful, because there's one mind actually working in a particular direction. So... That's the way I see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Alan, I see it very much the same way, you know. As individuals, we go through this journey, you know. And it was really, you know, I was on my journey as an individual. It was a lonely time. I had to remove the shackles. I had to remove the layers. I had to reprogram, you know. I had to reboot. I had to find direction in the wilderness, in the darkness, you know. But along that journey, you know, that was a lonely time in the beginning. I didn't have anyone to talk to. Nobody understood, you know. But then I started to connect with more people who were going through a similar journey, you know, their own individual awakening, you know, their own individual unlearning, you know. And I just started to connect with those people, and we would learn together, and we would inspire each other, and we would work together, and we would share information. And now it's something like, I don't know, about 8 years later, after going down this path, where it's like I can go down the street and pretty much talk to anyone, and they know what a GMO is, or, you know, what fracking is, or, you know, the corruption that exists in the, you know, monetary institutions. And it's really because of all these individuals, you know, who have continued to, you know, shine that light of truth and share that message of truth that, you know, has sparked all these lights and all these fires, where there's so many individuals now coming together, but also looking for direction in this time, you know? And so that's where we find ourselves right now, where there's so many people who are fed up with the, and not entertained anymore, you know?
Right.
And so now what do we do, you know? Because like, you know, you said, you
right.
know, we have to find our own entertainment, you know? But what I learned from
right.
the native, what I learned from the native teachings, you know, is that we're all part of an interconnected web of life, you know? And
yep.
just that simple fact, you know, we all come from the same mother. We need each other, you know, that entertainment that we're, so many of us are seeking, it involves us being together. It involves us working together. It involves us collaborating, you know, getting back to the land. We want to fix the mess. We want to, you know, create a beautiful life of entertainment, of happiness, of good health, prosperity. And we can't do that alone, you know. It's a big mess,
right.
you know, and it's a big world. And we really need each other in this time, you know. And so just to go back in the story, you know, another amazing thing that happened
John, could I break in for a moment? Let's go back to that part of the story, but I got to do a break at the bottom of the hour. Hey, folks, I'm gonna play this wonderful song by Dave the Bard, Pal and Toe. See everybody in about 4 minutes. Take care.
Mm.
Take no scorn to wear the horn. Was the crest when you were born. Your father's father wore it, and your father wore it too.
To International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter, too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to An Emerging Forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Well, welcome there back, everyone. And John, you were going to continue your story, so please do.
Hey, good to be back with everybody, and enjoyed the music as well. So just to kind of go back to where we were in the story, right? So we did this prayer ceremony with the Native American, Native American community ceremony, prayer for my life, how to protect this land and how to unite the people. So a couple weeks after, the Walmart project gets stopped dead in its tracks. Around the exact same time, this light bulb struck, and it was like a lightning bolt that struck me, and it was Permajam, and that word just echoed inside me, and it wasn't just a word, it was a whole vision. You know, I saw people coming together at Permajam and working the land together and sharing in our culture together and envisioning and collaborating on a beautiful way forward together as people, you know, on the land. This vision to gather together and channel our energy into growing abundance on the land and regenerating the land. And, that was it for me. You know, when that lightning bolt struck, I spent days just writing and writing and writing. And that was the answer to that prayer, how to unite people. And it was really like that, you know. It's like all I had to do was continue about my life. And when I talk to people, just say, hey, I have this vision, and it's Permajam. And that's all it took. People just started coming together around this word, this concept, Permajam. And, I was connecting. I was networking with people all over the country. I was connecting and networking with a lot of different people locally, organizations, other really wonderful networkers. And I started to gain a lot of support for this vision of Permajam. So I was there. I was kind of sort of quietly building this thing. You know, I did a little bit of travels. I went and visited different communities. I was really just kind of in this networking mode, you know, knowing that at some point I was going to have to organize an event. And we did our first Permajam event in 2016. And we went on a bus tour before that. There was 12 of us, musicians, activists, artists, and we went and visited all these different eco-villages and communities, and we just volunteered on their farms, and we played music for them, and we shared our vision of Permajam and this message, you know. And I guess I have to explain what Permajam is. What is this vision? So Permajam is a land blessing ceremony, right? And it's a four-year prayer. So I learned from, you know, these native teachings about this cycle of 4 years of a prayer, a commitment to a prayer for 4 years for that prayer to actually manifest. Right. And so what Permajam is a 4-year land blessing ceremony where we can go to any land, and basically it's a permaculture prayer. We can set that land into a perpetual permaculture path in 4 years. And I'll explain exactly how we're going to do that. Right. So we're 5 days away from doing our third Permajam on this beautiful 125 acres in upstate New York. It's the first year, actually, of a four-year commitment to this land. So the four-year permaculture prayer goes like this. First year, observation. So we're observing the land. We're we're looking at the land through a permaculture lens and understanding what is already happening on this land. Before we do any permaculture, before we do any design, we're just observing this landscape for a whole year. We're starting right here on this first year to this 125 acres and read the landscape and understand how we're going to work with it to create the abundance and the systems of living that we want to see on this land. We're going to observe first so that we don't impose our system onto this landscape, but we integrate our system into the landscape and we assist nature rather than control it. So the second year of the permaculture prayer is the permaculture design. And so we'll actually be having a permaculture design course sometime leading up to next year's event. And the people that come next year will get to really learn about permaculture design by collaborating and contributing to the permaculture design for this 125 acres. So we're going to do a whole system design for this entire 125 acres after we've already spent a year observing it. And then the third and fourth year of the prayer is we're going to be implementing that design. So taking the design that we've created and actually building the permaculture, you know, building the gardens, building the orchards, building the rainwater catching systems, the natural structures, all the things that we intend to do on this land. And by the end of that fourth year, we will have transformed this landscape into a thriving, regenerative permaculture ecosystem, you know, and it's going to continue. The work is going to continue on these lands, but we will have set this land on a perpetual permaculture path. So basically, the idea is that it's a prayer, right? So when you pray, and what I learned from my native elders is that it's one thing to just say, you know, Mother Earth, I'm praying for you, or future generations, I'm praying for you. But it's another thing to walk that prayer. You can pray, that's the easy part, but you have to walk that prayer. You have to live it if it's actually going to manifest, if it's actually going to happen. So what we're doing here is we're coming together in prayer for what we want in our world, what we want on these lands, and then we're actually taking the action to create it. And is manifesting over 4 years, right? So the idea is that this is a prayer for our future generations. And just by coming to this event, you will have contributed to creating a permanent culture, a permaculture on this land, a regenerative system that's going to be here for the future generations. So just by coming to this event, you're going to get a permaculture education from observation to implementation, and you're going to have contributed to something that's going to feed future generations. And not only that, right? Not only that, for a moment here, catch myself. So if all the problems in our ecosystem and our environment are a reflection of the problems within our own humanity, then as we transform the landscape, we're transforming ourselves, and that those changes are being mirrored back to us in the world that we see around us. So as we start to see healthy, abundant land, we're going to see healthy, happy, abundant people. And that is what we experienced at the last two permajams, is that people would come the first day, they'd be, you know, going through their own insecurities, you know, finding a way to harmonize with each other in this new ecosystem that we've created. And over 4 days, there would be a lot of transformation, a lot of heart opening, a lot of healing. You know, people that would come to the event and say, wow, this was the most inspiring and powerful gathering that I've ever attended. You know, I felt like I came home. I felt like, you know, I found my tribe. And that's the kind of experience that we want to create here at PermaJam. It's a transformational experience where we're transforming the land and we're transforming our community together. And there's so many beautiful things that you can experience at this gathering. It's really quite a tapestry of beautiful culture. But all that culture is rooted, is grounded in that basic fact that we all come from the same mother, you know, that we all care for Mother Earth, that we all care for the future, for our families, for the future generations, for our water. And we want to see a beautiful world, and we want to work on creating that beautiful world together. So the people that come to PermaJam, that's the kind of people they are. And people ask me, you know, why is your event private? Why is it by invitation only? And the reason is because we really want to protect our community, and especially our children and our women and the land here. And we don't want to be out there promoting it all over the place so anybody can show up. And they ask, you know, why do you not have drugs or alcohol at your event? And we say it's because we want to create a safe environment for everybody. And we want to create a very powerful vibration. And we open a sacred space with a sacred fire. And we're all connected through that fire. And everything that happens here in this space affects everyone. So we want to all be on the same wavelength and really connect to each other and really be present and hold space for the healing that's going on. You know, there's people that are coming to this event that need healing, you know, and we provide different outlets for them to find that healing here at PermaJam. You know, if that's why they came, there's people that are doing energy work, doing sound healing work, the workshops on permaculture and connecting with the environment and foraging for wild foods and medicines, the musical performances, the sweat lodge ceremonies. You know, these are powerful medicines. You know, that's the way I start to kind of look at things in our culture, is either poison or is medicine. And we want everything that people experience here to be nourishing medicine for their spirit, something that's going to help them to feel more grounded, to feel more connected, and to feel inspired and alive. And so anything that is poison, we don't want that here. Drugs, alcohol, we don't need that here. You know, I tell people, you know, they ask me, why can't I just, you know, have some drugs or maybe just have a drink? No one's going to notice. I say, look, why don't you just come here for 4 days and try to not drink, you know? We're out here in nature. We have beautiful organic food, meals that we prepare for everyone that we eat together. There's beautiful music. There's beautiful discussions. There's beautiful workshops. There's yoga. There's meditation. You know, we're getting high together. We don't need those drugs, you know. And that's what happens. There is a high that happens at PermaJam, you know. It's from all the open hearts. PermaJam is made possible because of all the ways that people show up and hold this container for each other. You know, it's not me. I don't create this experience for everyone. We all create it together. And I have to, at this moment, just express an incredible amount of gratitude for every single person who's ever come to PermaJam, and the ones that have offered the workshops and shared their teachings, their knowledge, their music, their prayers, held space and reached out and helped another person. You know, it's all those people that have created this energy that we have, that we can share as a community at this time, you know. And so it's really like a family, you know. Like when people come here, we open the prayer, the ceremony, the fire burns for 4 days and four nights. That fire doesn't go out. And what we say at the opening ceremony is like this. This is how it's going to be while we're here together, right? We say we're going to all take care of each other. We're going to all look out for one another, especially the little ones, especially the women. We are all the security guards here at this event. And what it does is we're putting the power of our experience in the hands of everyone here. And we're saying, look, it's going to be what we make it while we're here. This 4 days is going to come and it's going to go and it's going to be over. And it's going to go just like a blink of an eye. So how do you want it to be, you know? And your whole life is like that, you know? It's going to be what we're going to make it. So how we show up to PermaJam is really a reflection of how we show up to our lives, you know? Are we present? Are we here for our family? Are we here for our Mother Earth? Are we, you know, in appreciation and gratitude of our experience? that's the way that I find that people generally are showing up to PermaJam. They want to help. They want to express their love, their gratitude. And it's really all of that contribution from everyone that creates this safe space where people can open up and people can heal and people can share vision and inspiration and learn from each other, you know. So I'm really excited about this year. We have a lot of really powerful workshops. We're going to be learning about how to build a biogas food digester. You know, basically we can take food and turn it into compost within 24 hours and then generate propane from that food waste and use that for cooking or storing that energy. We're going to be learning all about permaculture observation from this 125 acres. There's going to be herbal workshops, foraging workshops. There's going to be kind of a lot of ceremonies happening within this ceremony. And there's going to be a lot of really beautiful music and some really powerful dialogue at this time, because I feel like we're kind of reaching a really interesting time in our humanity where so many of us as individuals have gone through our own healing journey, rediscovering, you know, what it means to be a human being on Mother Earth at this time. And we've done a lot of healing. So now it's time to create. Now it's time to go forward, to not spend so much time looking back at, you know, all the problems and the terrible things that have happened on this planet and that are still happening right now. But it's time to focus on solutions. It's time to focus on what are we going to do together?
Right.
How are we going to build
right.
this beautiful world for our children? So that's what we're doing here at this PermaJam. It's really about opening up that space, that invitation for everybody here to be a visionary, to share their vision of how we can, you know, help our families, help our communities, help our world, take care of our planet, and create together. You know, what can this beautiful collaboration look like? And it was my prayer, you know, that was about, wow, like almost 4 years ago, or a little over 4 years ago, how to unite people around the planet. And a beautiful thing is happening for our organization, PermaJam, which is that we're being invited to do these events all over the world right now. There's land in Bali, Jamaica, Costa Rica, Hawaii, Vermont, Massachusetts, that are reaching out to us and saying, we like this vision. We want to do this here. And so basically we want to continue to work with our community that we've built and our network that we've built. And we want to bring the education and the music and the prayers and the ceremonies to different lands around the world. And so this is our first year on this land of that 4-year ceremony. And we're going to start to expand after this event into doing these events multiple times throughout the year in different locations. And so we're going to have to continue to grow our organization, our structure, to have, let's say, PermaJam ambassadors, you know, PermaJam ambassadors that can go and represent and take this very basic model that we've created. You know, it's very simple. You know, there's just certain elements that are at a PermaJam that are needed, just like in nature. You know, you need water, you need air, you need sunlight, you know, for you need healthy soil for an ecosystem to thrive. And so PermaJam is like that. You know, there's certain basic elements of PermaJam, which is, you know, opening the fire, the prayer ceremony, having the prayer, the healing ceremonies and the prayer ceremonies within the event, the music, the workshops, the community collaboration, the healthy meals, no drugs and alcohol, those basic elements, and create these healthy ecosystems wherever we go around the planet. So that's where we're at, and I'm really excited. We're 5 days away. Thank you so much for the opportunity to just talk a little bit about what we're doing here.
So we've had a couple callers call in, and one has a suspiciously familiar phone number, and I'd just like to bring him on. And then there's another phone call. So Dave, I know you're here and I know you're bouncing off the walls to talk. but can I just bring another caller on as well? Hi, you're on the air. This is the 973-222 number. Who's this?
Madeline Groisha.
Hi. Do you know, I mean, people call in, they usually are you listening, or you want to talk about something, or did John, I don't know who's who. I'm sorry.
I know
Madeline. Please tell
Groisha.
Okay. Take it away, John.
Hey, Madeline Groisha, welcome to the show, and thank you for calling. Have you been listening?
I've been listening for about, I missed the first 20 minutes, so I didn't hear the beginning, but I was really enjoying the way the clarity was coming through you, John. You know, being in the woods is always so good for you. I always appreciate the clarity that you come through with, and I was backing you up and saying all the na-na hey-hays to what you were saying.
Yeah, hey, na, hey, hey. So I would like to introduce Madeline Groisha. She's been a really important core organizer for PermaJam. She's traveled on the bus tours with us. She helped organize the last two events that we've done. She's been really helping to hold space for all of the sisters, the women that come to PermaJam. She's sort of been like that beautiful mothering figure for a lot of people who come to PermaJam. And she's someone who's been with me along this whole process and continues to assist in so many ways. So I'll introduce you, Madeline Groisha, and if there's anything that you wish to say, you know, about yourself and about PermaJam and, you know, the experience of being a part of this so far.
Okay, thank you. That was very nice. Thank you. Well, you know, I come in with my own vision and heart, and my alignment to John Lee and PermaJam runs pretty deep, so I'm really grateful to see it growing into its, you know, full potential. And my part is yeah, I'm a Mama Earth lady, you know. I love everything no matter what, because that's just the way I love. So I've been enjoying loving everybody no matter what, and my medicine is the truth. You know, I stand really clear in my own truth, and I'm open to laughing at myself, and I'm open to, you know, saying what I feel, and I'm open to letting you say whatever you feel and being whoever you are. Like, my favorite thing is real. I love when people are themselves. It's my favorite part of life. So the part I want to bring and enhance with PermaJam is social permaculture, like how we relate to each other, how we see each other. You know, because we're all reflections of everything. So that's how I come in, and I'm happy to be part of it. You know, I enjoy all the parts. They just sometimes, you know, getting things together for families, you know how it is, family stuff, you know, it all comes up. But I think we do our best with what it is to be a family, and it seems like it's growing in a good way.
Yeah. Good, Madeline. Thank you. I always appreciate what you bring, Madeline. You know, it's like she said, very much focus on the relational piece, how we relate to one another, the social permaculture. And that's a lot of what it takes to hold space here, you know, for this ecosystem to thrive and be in harmony, you know, to have that piece of it, you know, to speak the truth, and have a space where we can all be ourselves and relate to each other. So I want to thank Madeline. I want to thank you for, you know, holding that space for our community. And I'm looking forward to seeing you do your thing in about 5 days.
Woohoo! Yep, we'll be singing, that's for sure, around that fire.
Yeah.
So is it Dave from Touch Mother Earth is on the phone too?
Dave is here.
Hello.
Hey, Dave.
You know, John, it's the first time I've heard your whole story from age 7, and what a journey. What a journey. Wow. And you can see how each piece of the puzzle led up to where you are today.
Uh-huh.
It's very
yeah.
potent.
Yeah.
And, you know, my
Thanks,
first
Dave.
Hearing about you was when you were on that PermaJam bus.
Mm.
And I forget who it was. I think Nearby Moon or somebody said, you got to meet this guy, John, because he's working on the grassroots level with the farmers, and they're going around and volunteering to help them get their crops. And I thought, how cool is that? And then you and I friended on Facebook, and we both started realizing that we do have a lot of shared vision. And you've come down every year. I'm going back for my third year. And one of the things I really have admired in your program is that you honor people, the talking circle, so that everybody gets the chance to say what's on their mind. The communal meals is very important. Some of your bands have lyrics that are very invested in the earth. Having sweat lodges during the middle of a festival, that's usually a sweat lodge is thought of on its own, but you bring it right in and you incorporate it so beautifully. And the other thing you said was that we watch each other. It's very true. You know, we take care of each other's safety. The kids are comfortable there. The ladies are comfortable there. You have a great diversity of programs. I remember the bio digest for the first year. You're teaching systems that are part of that sustainable or permanent culture. So, and you work tirelessly. I never see you, except at the circles. Then you sit down and and also the way you start the day by saying, you know, you have a gathering so we all know what's the game plan for the day. How beautiful is that?
Yeah. That's right.
What I really love about what you're doing, David, is you guys are brothering. You know, you're sharing. You're mirroring each other because you're both people who are actively moving towards these goals of community and family harmony, you know. So for me, like hearing the brothers mirror each other from their hearts and the sisters mirroring each other from their hearts and then the brothers and the sisters, that gives us a vibe that we can grow anything.
Well, John and I talk to each other on a regular basis. In fact, the last, you know, couple of weeks, we've been talking to each other probably twice a week, just checking in. He was checking in with me before Touch Mother Earth. And, you know, the stage that we have, we're bringing up there. I just picked up the electric line today. I'll be bringing my drums, you know, sharing my fun and love and community. And it's just, I'm really looking forward to seeing this new farm. You've been talking about it and the Tejano Elder energy and your whole, you have taught me more about Native American culture than I've ever read in any textbook.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. Well, Dave, you know, like Dave was saying, me and Dave connect regularly, and he's really, we've been a great support to one another. I call Dave my brother too. You know, I look at him as a big brother for me. And I, you know, I don't just call anyone my brother. You know, it's like it's really if you call someone your brother, you got to be there for them and take responsibility for each other and help each other out. And Dave is like that for me. You know, he looks out for Permajam and for me. And you know, he's the one that connected me here with Alan for this show. So he, you know, we're working for each other. You know, a lot of the people from Permajam have wound up coming to be a part of Touch Mother Earth, Dave, your event, and you know, vice versa. We've been sharing resources, and you know, I think the reason that me and Dave get along so well as organizers is that, you know, we're really doing the same thing, which is doing our best to uphold the integrity of our values and the things that we feel are, you know, good for our community, our people, are good for the earth. And, you know, it takes a lot to live up to those values and to hold that integrity. And so I'm really grateful, Dave, for you. And, you know, we'll continue to support one another in creating these events that are really touching the people in a good way.
Well, you
definitely. Hey, John Lee. I sorry to cut you off there, Dave, a little bit. Gordon has joined the show, John Lee.
Oh boy, it's about to get funky in here.
Here comes the fun. The president's coming.
I'm glad Gordon's calling. Yeah, let's bring him in.
He's on. Hi, Gordon.
Oh, okay.
Hi, everybody. And I, of course, I'd be remiss to forget to tell you Stephanie's here, too.
Hey, hey, good evening. Yeah, our whole team's here. Well, a good part of the core team is here, and so good to have you all on.
Nice to see you all. And just wanted to say, Permajam is the other half of our life. You know, it's kind of our whole life. You know, we and everybody we talk to, they just love the idea, and then they come up on the land, and it all makes so much sense. So we're really just happy to be working together with John Lee and Madeline and Dave, and it's been a wonderful project.
Well, Gordon, Stephanie, y'all been with us for this journey, you know. Gordon, you came on that bus trip with us, and you know, Stephanie, Gordon, you met at Permajam, and now we're. And I couldn't do it this without all of you, you know, Gordon, Stephanie, Madeline, couldn't have done this without all of you. And so I just want to, you know, say thank you again. And what a pleasure it is to work with you, you know. I mean, wow, doesn't things feel so different this year compared to last year? I mean, it seems like Permajam has kind of really taken on a life of its own, and that everything that we need is really showing up for us this year. You know, it's like we're really just kind of, you know, allowing it all to happen. You know, Permajam's got a spirit all of its own, and we're just here assisting that spirit, you know.
John, maybe it's like social permaculture, right? Because the first year we were observing, and then we started the plants, and now we're starting, like, maybe that's the way relationships work too, you know, maybe things take time like that.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
People can learn
from
nature. I think you put your prayer down, and then you like have to let it happen, and you have to go through all the stages, learning each other, learning what to do, learning what works, what doesn't work, honing it all in, and then making our way, right? Because it's never one person. It's a new way. It's our way. You know, it's how we all come to decide. It's kind of beautiful.
And if I could add to the listening audience, this idea of praying, you know, I kind of came up in a white Christian world and it was very arbitrary. You know, it's kind of like if you're a good boy, you know, you might get Christmas presents or something. But here what I'm seeing and what I'm understanding deeply is that when you come together in community and you honor what's right and what's true, which is the earth and the direction and our relationships and our ancestry and our program and our plans, and you just say that prayer together with friends, then stuff happens. Then it just really just happens. And the more we trust that,
dragon dreaming.
It's now we can feel it. We're just a few days away from Permajam, and it's buzzing up there. It is so cool. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. It's a party. It's a party in the best way possible, because it's a party that has a permanent positive consequence.
Mm-hmm.
It's the synergy of it.
Yeah.
Synergy of it.
And John, you came up with the vision, and people said, "I share that vision. Let's do it." And it's even more potent as a result.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, you know. Well, you know, the way I look at it, you know, and everything you guys are saying, absolutely, you know, this synergy. And, you know, it's really, the way I look at it is it's not my vision, you know, but it was my prayer, you know. I had a prayer, and this vision came to me. And, you know, when you're praying for the world, you're going to connect to a lot of, let's say, beings and spirits that also want that prayer to manifest on this world. The beings that are looking over our planet and that are looking over humanity. And And there's really a whole web of us all around the planet that are sharing in this prayer. So when we put that vision out there, you know, there's so many people we talk to and they're like, yeah, you know, like I've had the same vision, you know, that's my prayer too. And prayer, you know, for our beautiful world. So, you know, it's not my vision. I don't own it. It doesn't own me. But I take care of it, you know, and we take care of it together. So I'll just say that much, you know. I love this vision, and I love this prayer, and I love this path, and I'm so grateful to be walking this path with all of you.
So we have one more caller who has been on before. Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
Hello. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Good evening, Neil.
I just wanted to say it's such a pleasure and a blessing to just hear how this vision is coming together and just manifesting, and everyone's coming that's a part of it, that's holding an integral part to it. And the timing of it, I feel, has just been so divine, because as I may have shared with John and Dave prior to what I feel everyone's puzzle piece is in coming together and putting this vision together. You know, we all hold a special piece that's unique to us, and having a platform and an opportunity where we can share that amongst each other and see how it can fit, like you said, what's that synergy that we can come together, because it's not one person's vision. Yes, it's a shared vision that we each have a responsibility and ownership to say, hey, I can play this role in this vision here, because this is where it's lacking. Here's a hole that I see, or here's how this can be better. But it comes holding that initiative and following through with action to back that up. And I just feel truly blessed and honored to have been able to come on board with being involved with this overall. I'm just excited. So thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, well, Neo, thank you for calling in to share all that. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to you sharing at PermaJam this year. You know, Neo, I met at Touch Mother Earth, reached out to me to come and do some meditation work and some empowerment work, you know, self-empowerment with the people in our community. And, you know, one of the cool things that I like about PermaJam and being an organizer is that, you know, I really take the time to connect with people who are coming on a one-on-one basis, you know, and all the presenters and the musicians and the volunteers and even the people who attend, to really engage with them on a one-on-one basis and get to feel them out, you know. What is their intention for coming here, you know? Are they aligned with the mission? Are they aligned with the purpose? And Neo, you know, is one of those people I connected to this year that felt like he was in total alignment with what we're doing. And, you know, it's just been a great experience to feel like we're building something that is so intimate, so personal, and so safe, where we've really kind of done that work of, you know, evaluating the energy and the people that are coming our way, and making sure that, you know, we're opening this space up for people who are going to hold it in a good way, you know. And I think that's really important, because PermaJam is like a baby that we've been given birth to together, to protect that baby, you know, and to protect the people who come, by making sure that the people who are coming here are going to be responsible and that are going to be able to communicate positively to everyone. So, yeah, I'll just say that much.
Beautiful. And if I may just add one more thing, more of a personal issue, if that's okay.
Sure.
To that, I just wanted to share that I've been thinking about this vision. I've been seeing it in my head for years, you know, and when I first saw, like, my possible influence, potential to be a part of it, initiator, however it came at the time, was very daunting. It was like, who am I to be able to bring about such a large vision? I'm just this kid from Hood, Patterson, you know, who am I to do this great change? And those thoughts would come in, and then at that time, even depression, where I was like, I can't possibly do all this by myself. Like, look at everything that's stacked against me. Look at all the powers that be and influence that don't want this to come about. And it egged at me, and it kept eating at me until I saw the strength in myself to say, no, I'm going to stand for what I see in myself of what is possible. And the second, the moment I made that decision to the universe to commit to my purpose here, then everything started to change. The people in my life started to come together, and opportunities like this show themselves to me, where I can say I'm not alone in that thought anymore, that there are people who are willing to take the sacrifice and the effort to make a difference, and it's not just me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, brother.
All right.
Aho. Really touched by that, you know. Really touched by that, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, we're here for you, bro, and you know, thank you so much for coming and bringing your piece of this puzzle here to PermaJam, you know. And we're here for you, and you're here for us, and we're here for each other, you know. And that's what it's all about. So,
thank you.
See you soon.
Thank you.
So, John, is there? I know this is in the now. I know. This is in by invitation only, and all the invitations have probably gone out. But people might want to know more about PermaJam in general and how to get involved.
Uh-huh.
Is there a central location where they can go to do that?
Yeah. I will just say that for those of you out there who feel like you want to come and be a part of this vision with us, the best way at this time is to just send us an email to permajamfam, like family, F-A-M, permajamfam@gmail.com. And we will engage with you, and we will talk to each other, you know, as human beings. And if that goes well, we'd love to invite you to come and be a part of this experience with us.
Right.
Hey, John, you also year-round on Facebook have PermaJam Fam.
We do. Yeah, we have. Which we have
great articles
PermaJam.
And course.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up too. We have PermaJam Fam is our group on Facebook, which has grown pretty large, and that's a place where we can all share in our culture, you know, share in all our beautiful culture and the beautiful wisdom and the things that are going to help us as human beings, you know, help each other out, share information. So that's the PermaJam Fam group on Facebook. And then we also have our website, which is www.permajam.com. And these are all ways that you can kind of keep up with us and what we're doing and connect with us.
So, Madeline, do you care to give out contact information, or people find you through John? How would you like to do that?
I have a Groisha Facebook. I have a Groisha Facebook, and I also have Groisha@gmail.com. And there's going to be a CD coming out on my website, Groisha.com, which should be out probably, hopefully, right after PermaJam, if not right on it. But that's my birthing at this new moon. So there'll be ways to connect me. I'm going to be holding retreats for women to come together as Sisters of Song, and then brothers
mm-hmm.
come along, like brothers getting along. And then a third retreat for men and women to come together to kind of summit and discuss, like, relationship and focus and how we want to, like, move forward with the vision.
Right.
So,
and Gordon, yeah, Gordon, how can people reach out to you if you wish to give any information?
Yeah, you can go to my Instagram or website. It's the same one. It's unlock.space. That's unlok.space. And there's like a form on that one, just like there is on the PermaJam website. So if you want to reach out to us, both permajam.com and unlock.space.
Awesome. Neo, what's your contact information?
Sure. So right now on Facebook, I'm Jeffrey Orozco. That's my past alias. I go by my Neo now. So it's Jeffrey,
right.
G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y and O-R-O-Z-C-O. I do have my website, but currently under construction. I should have it done by PermaJam, actually. And that's neoglobalguru.com. That's N-E-O-G-L-O-B-A-L, guru, G-U-R-U.com. And phone number 973-851-0656, just in case anyone wants to connect with me and talk further about this beautiful vision here. Overall, I'm just so excited. So thanks, you guys. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
All right. And last but not least, the connector of me to all these lovely people, Dave. How can people contact you?
I think the easiest would be touchmotherearthevents@gmail.com or touchmotherearth.com for website.
Right.
And you can meet all of us at PermaJam.
Yay!
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for a great program tonight, and thank you for keeping it short. People on YouTube like to see things that are approachable, so this has been really wonderful. And my name is Alan Ritter. I'm RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. I run a small produce co-op in the southern New Jersey and southeastern Pennsylvania area, sourcing produce 12 months a year from the Philadelphia regional produce market. I concentrate almost exclusively on organics, and I get them for a lot less than you pay in the grocery store. I'll just say that. Thank you, John Lee, Dave, Madeline, Gordon, and Neo has already signed off. Have a wonderful week and an awesome PermaJam.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful to talk to you, and you're invited to PermaJam.
Thank you so much. Have a great week. Let's have to make a date to talk about PermaJam after it happens.
All right. Thank you so much.
Good night,
everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.